Hi, everyone. Good to be with you again. It's Jill Geisler of the Poynter Institute. And if I haven't said it lately, congratulations on your quest to become a great boss. And now, let me insult you just a little bit. If you want to be great, you're going to have to deal with your biases. Now, I'm not trying to hurt your feelings. I'm just trying to give you a reality check on what research tells us. We all have biases. We've got blind spots. We overestimate our own ability to be reliable and trustworthy and ethical. We're just human beings. So, human beings who want to be great bosses, let me tell you about a couple of biases that you may have and not know about. And once you know about them, you can do something about it. That's important because research says that employees value trustworthiness in their bosses higher than just about anything, including competence. And why is that? Well, we hire people who are a lot smarter than we are, at least we should. So they don't expect us to be a genius, but boy, they expect that they should be able to trust us. So let's work on those hidden biases that can sometimes erode trust. Bias number one, I like you. You remind me of myself. Research says that there's something called similarity attraction effect. It means that we are drawn to people who are similar to us. We tend to empathize with them. We tend to support them. We tend to hire them. And then what happens? You have a team full of mini-me's. You don't have diversity. You haven't brought in new ideas or fresh ideas and haven't really given a fair shake to people who are different from you. Number two, bias. I hired you. You know, when we hire somebody, we're putting our reputation on the line. We're saying, I believe in this person. And therefore, we're kind of in their corner. We may give them more of a second chance if they need it. Meanwhile, employees who've been on the team before we got there, people we inherited, we didn't hire, are watching us closely to see if they're being treated differently. Pay very close attention to how you spend your time and with what employees, and whether or not you're being completely even-handed to those you've hired versus those you inherited. Number three bias, I coached you. Now, this is tricky. When you're a coach, when you're helping somebody improve in his or her performance, you are working with that person in a very focused fashion. And when you focus, you are looking for improvement on the things you've identified together as areas to work on. You see incremental growth. You're seeing the glass half full instead of half empty. I call that the coach's bias. It's not a bad thing, except if it blinds you to the big picture of how a person really has a way to go. You need to be honest about the gaps as well as the growth and not have just the bias of a coach who is a cheerleader. Number four bias, I put a stake in the ground. You know, bosses have a tendency to make public statements, things like, I won't hire somebody with less than 3 years experience, or I'm not going to give a promotion to somebody who doesn't come in and pitch me for it, or, oh, I won't hire back someone who's quit this organization. Well, any of those decisions can come back to haunt you. Once you've put a stake in the ground, in order to change your mind, you have to say, I was wrong. And that's hard for people. So many times they spend too much time justifying a public position than rethinking it. But recognize that if you rethink a position and in fact say, I'm sorry, I was wrong, you can build true credibility. Here's another bias. Number five, I used to do that job. You know, when we had expertise in an area, when we loved that job, and then we get promoted to management, it's hard for us to let go of our focus on it. We may spend more time with people in that area. We may care more about it. We may fund it better, get better equipment for those people. In the meantime, or by the way, we may micromanage it and drive the people in that area crazy. But in the meantime, people in all other areas of the organization are asking, what are you doing for us? Do you even know what it takes to do our job? Are you as in favor of our success as you are in that area you used to work? Okay, the last, number six, I'm under pressure to deliver. Pressure to deliver can cause people to narrow their focus of what's important to them. They may say, I'm just making a business decision here because they feel so pressured. But when they say, I'm just making a business decision, they are cutting out other important things that they need to focus on, like ethics, diversity, safety, quality, promise-keeping, compassion, or community. Always beware when you're under a tight squeeze, a budget squeeze, to make certain that you're still thinking of all the other values that are important to you. And what should you do, by the way, if somebody calls your attention to a perceived bias? Well, you need to be generous about it. It hurts to hear that you have a bias, or it appears that you do. Ask questions. What am I doing that causes you to think that? And how can I change that behavior to persuade you otherwise? It's important, and it's your way of becoming a great and trusted boss. I'm Jill Geisler of the Pointer Institute, and you can read more about this at pointer.org in all of our columns or in my book, Work Happy, What Great Bosses Know.